It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this evening. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and be with God's people. And I want to begin by saying what a blessing it is to go soul winning. Tuesday night at 6:30 is soul winning time. Is that the way you announce that, brothers? Is it soul winning time or visitation time?
Either one's proper. But soul winning is great part.
Soul winning should be the emphasis. That's what we're here to do, is win souls. That's the object of the church, is to win souls. So that should be our goal, to win souls to Christ. That's why he came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then he said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. That's what we've been sent to do. Pastor mentioned on Sunday morning that is our job, is to go and take the gospel message. Just as Paul was an apostle, we too are apostles. We don't hold the office, but we hold the mission of carrying the gospel message. What a wonderful message we have to share, a message of hope, a message of deliverance. We ought to be excited about having such a message to share and being chosen by God to deliver that message. What an honor it is. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to look at a passage in 1 John. 1 John. And I'm going to read the first five verses of 1 John chapter 1. First five verses, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us in the next few minutes as we study your word to understand it, to comprehend it, to apply it, Lord, to our lives, that we might walk closer to you as a result of having been here tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a blessing and a help to these dear folk who've come this way this evening. For we need your help, and we ask for it, we plead for it, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, these five verses begin with that which was from the beginning. The beginning. Now, when I think of the beginning, I think of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But I don't think that's the beginning John had in mind when he wrote this verse. I think the beginning he had in mind is John 1:1. So if you turn with me there, hold your place in 1 John and go with me to the Gospel of John, 1, and 1. The Gospel of John, 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. In the beginning of what? What beginning? Well, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what beginning you choose. He was there. He preceded any beginning. There was no beginning before him. He always was. In the beginning was the Word. Now the Word is what declares who God is. The Greek word is logos, but what it means is that which declares God, who he is. Now we know there is a God, we see it all around us, but to know who he is, we need to get into the Bible, into the Word, the written Word, and we see him in the living Word. And those two are incorporated in that word. Word we see here in 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the word was is a verb to be, which means not only was he there in the beginning, but he always was. He always was. So we could say, as we read that, in the beginning was and always was the Word. And the Word was and always was with God. Now, the fact that he is with God indicates he is a separate entity, a separate personality. So God and the Word here are two separate personalities. He was with God. And he was always with God. There was never a time in the past when he wasn't with God. He was and always was with God. And the Word was God. He was always with God and he was God. Now that says they're one and the same. He was a separate personality, being with God, but the Bible says he's also God himself. How can that be? Would you like for me to explain that to you? I wish I could, but I can't. But this is the basis for the Trinity. God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and yet he is one God. Three in one. We see that in this one verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now what that tells me is that he never changes. He's the same. Yesterday and today and forever, he's always been the same. He always will be the same. He never changes. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. That's the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. That means apart from him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made everything. All things were created by him and for him, the Bible says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now the next verse says, in him was life. Not just any life, but the life. The eternal life. That's the life of God. That's the life he's talking about here, is the life of God. In him was life. And the life that was in him was the light of men. Now, what does it mean when it says he was the light of men? The life was the light of men. What are some of the most prominent properties of light? Well, I think one of the first things men came to realize about light was it enables one to see. Without light, you can't see. You've been in a dark room, have you not, where there's no light? Trying to negotiate in that room is very difficult, isn't it? You end up negotiating with your hands because you can't negotiate with your eyes. You can't see. There's no light. But the life that God has and that he talks about here is light. It enables men to see. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. Now the darkness, that's the human race. That's the human race. We're in darkness. But he came, and his light shone through that darkness. And demonstrated for us what real life should be and how it should behave, how we should behave ourselves, if you will. And we see that in his example. He was the example. He was the light of men. He was the standard. He's the example to which we should all aspire to be like him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Next verse says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, the word was there is not the same word. It's a different word. Because John wasn't always. John had a beginning. It was in verse 1. Was and always was. Was in verse 5 is applied to John, and he wasn't always. He came into being some 2,000 years ago. So what we're going to read in 1 John chapter 1 is based on what we just read in John chapter 1. So back to 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, that which always was, that which had no beginning, that which existed from eternity past and will exist through eternity future. But in verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. In other words, there was a snapshot in time where that which was from the beginning made an appearance here on the earth. And there were a group of men who were privileged to hear him. to hear him preach and to hear him teach. He taught them for 3.5 years, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Not only did we hear him, but we got to see him, which we have looked upon. Not only did we get to hear him, not only did we get to see him, but we got to observe him. We got to watch him over a period of time, 3.5 years. How he lived, what he did, what he said, what he taught. He said, we've observed, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. We also touched him. We could reach out and actually touch him. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say he was real. Not only was he real, not only was he a real man, but he was also God. That which was from the beginning. We've heard him, we've seen him, we've observed him, we actually touched him. The God-man. Now that's important. The reason that's important is because in John's day there were teachers who were saying that Jesus wasn't God. But John's making the point here. He is. We still have men today who say Jesus isn't God. Oh, he might be a great prophet, or he was a good teacher. No. He's God. I noticed when they have public prayers a lot of times, they'll pray to God, but they don't pray to Jesus. I know there's a name you can't pray to in the UN. That's the name of Jesus. If I ever had the opportunity to pray at the UN, that's the name I'd pray in. You know, they're not offended by the concept of God, but they're offended by Jesus. Why are they offended by Jesus? I'll tell you why. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through Jesus. Oh, we can talk about God, and they don't get offended, but you talk about Jesus. Well, you exclude a lot of people. No, I don't exclude anybody. We exclude ourselves. I love giving the gospel message out because a lot of times I run into folks who believe that God sends people to hell. Did you know God doesn't send anybody to hell? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. That was God's purpose in sending his son Jesus. So men who go to hell go there by their own choice. But I'm glad he came and gave us a choice. aren't you? Had he not come and given us a choice, we would have all been consigned to hell, because we're all sinners. What a wonderful message we have, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says here, that which we've seen, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. It's the word that gives life. The living word and the written word. You know, sometimes we try to separate those two, but you know something? You really can't separate them. The written word gives life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Giveth life. Jesus gives life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So those two are inseparable. The word. The word of life. For the life was manifested. The life was revealed. The life. The life of God. The life. That's not the same life that we have when we are born into this world. Because that life, the Bible depicts and describes to us as death. We're dead in trespasses and sins. But he gives life. Real life. Life everlasting. Life never ending. And why is it life everlasting? What makes it life everlasting? I'll tell you. The wages of sin is. So if something lives and never dies, it must not what? Sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So what I'm trying to say is, when God gives eternal life, that's not just describing the duration of that life. It also describes the quality of that life. Because what happens when you get saved, he imparts unto you eternal life, but he's also imparting to you at that time a life that has his quality. It's his life. He imparts his life to you. So he goes on here. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now let's back up for a minute. I want to share something with you here. Back to verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Those relative pronouns there, we, refer to a small group of men, the disciples, those who traveled with him for 3.5 years. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. There's another relative pronoun referring to that same group of 12. That which we have seen and heard, the 12, we, the 12, actually it was 11 because one of them, we know what happened to him. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Actually, that 12th one, Judas, was replaced by Matthias. He was included with the 11 and became the 12. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now there's another relative pronoun, you and ye. Who's that talking about? Those he ministers to, those he delivers the gospel message to. It's available to us, is what he's saying. That which we experienced, we want to share with others. We want to share it with you. That was his purpose. So listen to what he says. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship, talking about us now, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying God's also included in us there. We have fellowship with him. Not that we had, past tense, but we have, present tense, fellowship with him. And we're writing these things that ye also may have fellowship with us. God wants to have fellowship with us. If you're saved tonight, you have a relationship with him. He's your heavenly Father and you're his child. That's relationship. That's not fellowship. He wants fellowship with us. And that's why John said, I'm writing this to you so that you can have fellowship with him as we do. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Well, I'll tell you what, if you have fellowship with him, you'll have joy. I've never seen a Christian who's walking with God who walks around like this. You know, life's the pits. Life's just terrible. My kids used to say, life's the pits and then you die. I've never seen a Christian walking with God who had that attitude. You know why? God doesn't give you that attitude. God puts joy in your heart. Amen? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. He puts it there. I think of other songs. I will sing of my Redeemer and his precious love to me. You remember that song? There's so many of them. Thank God for that joy. I think of another song, one of my favorite songs. We don't sing it, but we ought to. I like to sing. You know I like to sing. Yeah. This is one of my favorites. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I fear no alarm. Isn't that a wonderful way to live, folks? Huh? Just think what he's done for us, what he's given us. We see that here in this passage. When he says he wants to have fellowship with us, and he makes a way for us to have fellowship with him. And here it is, verse 5. This then is the message. This is the message they heard. This is the message they saw and observed. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That means there's no sin in him. Okay. Now, Jesus is in God, is he not? The Bible tells us that. Jesus is in God. And if there's no darkness in God and Jesus is in God, then there must not be any sin in Jesus. Okay. If you're saved tonight, you're in God. Did you know that? You're in God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us that we're in him. And if we're in God and there's no darkness in God, then there must not be any darkness in us. Amen? But darkness represents sin. And that's what he's getting ready to address here. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, what is our walk? Our walk is how we conduct ourselves every day in the world. That's our walk. If we walk in darkness, we do not have fellowship with him. Because where's he? He's in the light. So if you're going to walk with him, you have to walk in the light. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer, obviously, is no. It's a rhetorical question. So if I'm going to walk with God, I must walk in the light. And where do I find the light? In his word. In his word. That's the light. So if I'm living a life of rebellion, am I walking in the light? No. If I'm walking in darkness, do I have fellowship with God? No. Can I have fellowship? No. There cannot be fellowship with God as long as I am walking in darkness. That means if there's sin in my life, I've got to get rid of it if I'm to have fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That which would disrupt our fellowship, he cleanses as we walk in the light. Because if I'm walking in the light and I've got sin in my life, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That means take it from us. You say, well, I've got a sin that I can't control. He can. If we'll confess it. If we'll agree with God what it is. And it could be anything. Anything that keeps you from walking in the light is a sin that keeps you from fellowship with God. It could be alcohol, it could be tobacco, it could be drugs, it could be immorality, it could be money, it could be pride. Anything that would keep me from enjoying fellowship with my Heavenly Father breaks that fellowship. And it can only be restored as I confess it and forsake it with his help. Amen. If I'm living in disobedience, am I walking in the light? No. No. What am I saying? And my time is gone. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Pastor's vision for Vision Baptist Church, in my vision, and I'm sure it's your vision, is that we be a church that walks with God. In order to be a church that walks with God, we as a people must walk with God individually. Every one of us. So I think it behooves us to examine ourselves daily. Is there something in my life that would hinder my walk with God? If there is, confess it and forsake it. If you don't know of anything, say, God, if there is something, would you reveal it to me? Would you show it to me? Help me to confess it and forsake it. My prayer is that we all walk with God. And that's what John's writing about here, is that our walk would be that which Jesus would approve of. It would be as his walk. He walked in the light, and we should walk in that same light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your word and for its truth, and Lord, for salvation so free and so full in Jesus Christ, for the joy that we have in our hearts.